Today's shiur will be beginning Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, at the Mishnah toward the bottom. Hamocher Peros L'Chavero. Before we proceed with the shiur itself, it's highly recommended that you print out the Daf Gemara, and better yet, to order your own personal copy of Maseches Bava Basra, Shas Ozer Pre-Marked Gemara Edition. The Mishnah continues, Hamocher Peros V'Chavero, one who sells grains to his friend, Hare Ze Mekabel Olov Roiva Tinoifes L'Sa'o. The customer is expected to accept the reality that he's not going to get a pure measure of grain, namely a measure of pure grain, but rather in the grain that he receives there will be debris. The rate that the Mishnah mentions is a quarter of a kav per sa'ah, roughly 1/24. There are six kav in a sa'ah. And when we speak about one quarter of 1/6, that we're saying 1/24. Te'enim mekabel olov eser metulos lemea. If one's purchasing figs, one has to accept the fact that they're not going to be all pure and edible, but rather 10 out of 100 will be wormy. Martef shel yayin mekabel olov eser koisesois lemea. One is buying a group of barrels of wine, a wine cellar, so to speak. The cellar here can be C-E-L-L-A-R. He's buying that. And there is, of course, the cellar, the S-E-L-L-E-R, of the wine. When he sells the cellar, there is the expectation that the purchaser will be receiving a certain amount of non-quality wine. The Rashbam interprets the expression koisesois, yayin ra, klomar eser chovios shel yayin ra, that 10 out of 100 barrels will be poor quality wine, destam mea chovios ruchayu be'eser koisesois. That's the general practice, that out of 100, there can be the expected 10 poor quality. Umochil inish, and people overlook that. They're forgiving of that. Uve Gemara Muki Law, and the Gemara Adaf Tzadi Hey will set up this case where the seller, the vendor, said the following expression, Martef ze shel yayin ani mocher loch. The Gemara there will discuss variant expressions that the vendor might use, and depending on what expression he uses, the receiver, the buyer, can expect different things. Continuing in the Mishnah, Kankanim b'shoroin, if someone is selling barrels in that area known as Sharon, then Mekabel Olov Eser Pitzois Lemea, the buyer realizes that he's going to accept 10%, 10 out of 100 bad quality receptacles. Before we begin the Gemara, we'll take advantage of one of the noteworthy features of the marking system and the pre-marked Gemara edition, and that's the introductory notes or the topic headings that accompany every sugya. The introductory note is found on the outside margin. We refer to it as nosei, the topic at hand. And reading it, it says, Rav Katino hevi mokor demashma. Rav Katino, who appears in the Gemara, will bring a source which sounds like it's saying Shalokeach Mekabel al Atzmoi Roiva Hakav Kitnis L'chol Sa'ah Shel Tvua, that the customer accepts a quarter of a kav of kitnis, we can interpret as possibly referring to legumes. In other words, someone who's buying grain and there appear a mixture of beans in the grain, this is something to be expected, claims the source Rav Kitina cites, that the 1/24th rate that we mentioned in the Mishnah applies to kitnis. The note says, Avol lo rova afroris, but not the 1/24th rate as applying to debris. The Mishnah mentioned 1/24th of the purchase is tinoifes. Tinoifes, one would assume, is debris. Rav Katina is going to refer to a 1/24th rate, but of legumes, of beans. So Gemara opens up with the source, Tani Rav Katina. He teaches the following source in the marked system, marking system that we use. Tanaic sources appear in frames. So his source says, Rova Kitnis Lisa'a. That Rova is the one quarter of a kav, which we will refer to as a 1/24th rate of other material, other than that which the customer is expecting. He's buying grains. The implication here is that the customer is willing to forgive on the appearance of beans in his purchase, but not on the appearance of debris. The Gemara therefore asks, and we have a note, a geometric form. The geometric form in the marking system means that some type of series is going to appear, or a connection of similar ideas. In this case, you see this form, the house form. It links you up with the next Omid, Sadi Dalar Malf. There's another house form. It's worth noting that in the marking system, there's no inherent significance to any particular geometric form. All that you're expected to do is connect the same forms as they appear. In this case, the house form, the note on the outside margin indicates, Kushyos al Rav Katina. That's under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, which serves to explain the role of the geometric forms as they appear. So the question is asked by the Gemara, Va'afroiris lo, and debris one does not accept. V'ho'omar rabo barchio katoisfo, mishmei de rabo, borer sror migrono shel chavero, noisei lo demei chitin. If someone comes along and pulls out or sifts out of his friend's grain supply, he sifts out the debris from it, and the, let's just say for illustration's sake, the owner of the grain supply is not aware of this. He then goes and sells grain to a customer. The customer pays a certain amount, and it turns out that the customer received pure grain. The fellow who came and sifted out the debris from the seller's supply is financially obligated to compensate the seller for loss. What does this mean? When sellers sell grain, it's understood that there's a certain amount of debris in the sale. In this particular case, the seller ended up selling at the standard price, pure grain. Namely, the seller was really experiencing a loss. The amount that was originally supposed to be represented by debris, in effect, is in this case filled up with grain, with pure grain. What do we see from this? That in standard sales, there is understood to be some amount of debris. The Gemara answers, Rav Katina's source is legitimate, and our understanding of debris as being expected is also legitimate, but what we have to do is cite the statistics. The Gemara answers, Kitnis rova, Afroiris pochus mirova. What is accepted by purchasers? The following. Purchasers are willing to accept a rova of kitnis. 1/24th of their purchase will be non-grain. It'll be in the form of beans. As far as debris is concerned, less than 1/24th is an acceptable amount of debris. But 1/24th of the purchase in debris would not be acceptable. The Gemara asks, the afroiris rovalo, is that so, that a 1/24th rate of afroiris is not acceptable? We are going to show you a source at which point we present a long question to show that rova afroris is the acceptable rate, not less than, but a full 1/24th. Before we continue in the reading of the Gemara, let's just draw our attention to another marking phenomenon. In the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, in this particular case to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice number 2, which represents our second question in the questioning process, is accompanied by a dashed vertical line. That means that the next several lines of Gemara that are parallel to this long dashed vertical line are all part of the question. So there's no need to wait for an answer in the middle. The question continues by citing a Tanaic source. As you can see, several lines are in a frame. It says, V'ha Tanya, Hamocher Peros L'Chavero. Case 1, Chitin, Mekabel Olov Rova Kitnis L'Sa'a. If one is selling wheat, so the customer will accept a rova of kitnis per sa'ah. Sa'ah is a measure. Sa'irim, if one is selling barley, mekabel of rova nishoves lisa'ah, the customer is expected to accept upon himself a rova, that's again the same quantity of stalks. And the Rashbam says Nishovis is kash, the straw that accompanies barley. Adoshim, often translated as lentils. If one is purchasing that, Mekabel Olov Rova Afroiris Lisa'ah. But that's the end of the source. And what we've done in our markings is we've added a dashed underline to the expression Afroiris. You can easily guess why. Afroiris is the focus of our attention. And what do we see in this source? We see that upon the purchase of Adoshim, one accepts a rova of debris. Not like we said above, less than a rova, but rather a full rova of debris. My love, should we not assume hu hadin lechitim ulisorim, that just like in this particular example, the source cited purchase of Adoshim, we can assume the same thing in the case of wheat and barley, which was the topic of our discussion before, namely in the purchase of grains. Just like in the case of lentils, an afroris rate of a rova per saw is accepted, the 1/24th rate, the same thing can be assumed in the case of chitim and saurim. That would be the end of our question. The Gemara says no. The idea or the rate of a complete 1/24th, a full 1/24th of afroris, that's only by adoshim. Shiny adoshim. Adoshim are different. De meaker akri luhu. The method of harvesting adoshim is by uprooting them. Hence, in the harvesting of adoshim, more afroris, more debris, more dirt accompanies them than in the case of the harvest of grains, where one does not uproot them, where one doesn't get clods of dirt in the harvesting process. The Gemara continues, Ela taimo de adoshim de ma'akir akri lehu. So the reason that one is accepting the dirt as part of the sales because they're uprooted. Aval chiti v'sari, no. We then can infer to the contrary, namely that in the case of chitim and sorim, no, that one can't, is not not expected to accept the debris. Tifshot mina chiti v'sari de'afroris lo mekabel. Let's conclude that in the case of a purchase of chitim and sorim, that one is not expected to accept a rova, a complete 1/24 of afroris, but rather less than that. And if we would make such a conclusion, in effect we would have a support for what was taught before by Rav Katina and the Gemara that helped to explain him, namely that 1/24 kitnis, yes, less than 1/24 of debris as well in the case of purchase of grains. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to come to that conclusion. Li'olam chiti usari mekabel afroris. I can tell you that in the case of chitim usarim, one will be expected to accept a full rova of afroris. In other words, not just in the case of adoshim. And if you say that, then we're not going to be supporting what we said above for Rav Katina, where we insisted on saying less than a 1/24. Here we're saying that one would have to accept a complete 1/24. If that's the case, then why did the source feature Adoshim? Adoshim, it's the Richale. The source above featured the purchase of lentils. Dusalka daito chamina, I would have thought, kevon demakir akrilu, since they're uprooted in the harvesting, in their harvesting, yoser merovan ami lekabel, that the customer would be expected to accept even more than 1/24. Komash malon, the significance of the adoshim section of the source was to tell me that only 1/24 and not more. But as far as chitim and sorim are concerned, they too, one would be expected to accept, the purchaser is expected to accept a complete 1/24, and hence we would have no support for the teaching that we had on the top of the Omid, which was a defense of Rav Katina. As you can see in the marking, we encounter a slash. This indicates that the new piece of Gemara represents a new train of thought, not connected to the flow of the Gemara up till this point. Here too, we also notice a new geometric form. This is called the firebox. It's not a simple rectangle, but it gives you the impression of a flame around it by the squiggle line around it. This is a marking that we don't use often. It signifies a name or possibly another point that will preoccupy us for a while, generally speaking, at least an omid of Gemara or more. In this case, as our note on the outside margin indicates, this topic will be continuing till Daf Tzadi Hey Omid Aleph. Let us take advantage of our introductory note by reading it. The Nosei, the topic heading, we have indicated Ad Tzadi Hey Omid Aleph, Dinoi Shel Rav Huna. Rav Huna's teaching, Afalpi She Oimrim De'odam Mekabel Rova Tinofes L'chol Sa'ot Tvua Shekoina, even though it's understood that purchasers accept a quarter of a kav, 1/24 of his purchase, in the form of debris. Im hu choshe sheyesh yoyser meroiva, if the customer suspects there might be more than a 1/24 in his purchase, ubo lenapois, and he comes and sifts it out, umegala sheyesh yoyser, and then he reveals that in fact there is more than a 24th of debris. In other words, he was cheated out. Al hamoicher lefatzos es halokeach al kol hatinoifes shenimsa. It is obligatory on the seller to compensate the purchaser for all of the debris that was found in his sale. Veloy rak al hatoisefes shemeal rova, and not just for the amount above the 1/24th. In other words, if you play it fair, you can sell your product, your grains, and you have an allowance of up to 1/24th of debris. And the deal goes through. If you, as the seller, try to throw in a little extra debris, you're going to end up losing. You're going to end up having to compensate the seller for all of the extra, where you had a certain margin of error that served to benefit you. In this case, if there's more, if you've overstepped your margin of error, you're going to be fined, so to speak, and have to compensate for all of that, of the debris that was included in the sale. The Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Im bo lemnapois menape es kulo. If a purchaser suspects that there's more than a rova, and it turns out that there is more than a rova, the Gemara expression literally means if he comes to sift out, but it's under the circumstances that we just described. The Gemara says, Menapes Kulo, we're understanding that to mean that the seller must offer compensation for all of the found debris, and not just the amount that was over the margin of error. Amri law dino, vi amri law knosa. There are two approaches in the Gemara. Some view this as by letter of the law, and some view this as a knas, as a fine. The Gemara will now explain the two points. We label them Aleph and Beis. As you look ahead in the Gemara, you notice squiggle underlined expressions with Aleph and Beis accompanying them. These are the points of explanation of the two headings that we just read. Amri la dina. Some view this as letter of the law. How is that? Man diyohiv zuzi. When one pays for his purchase of grains, apiri shapiri yohiv, he expects to receive pure merchandise. In other words, he is not really moichel at all on debris. Verova lo torach inish. However, people just don't want to bother with sifting if it's going to reveal only 1/24th. Yoser merova torach inish. If they know there's more than 1/24th, people will trouble themselves. The kevan de torach, once a person troubles himself, torach bekulei, he's going to go all the way. The Rashbam, in the wide lines under the Gemara, it says, Apiri Shapiri Yohiv, Velo Mochil Tinoifis Klal. As we said, he's not forgiving of any debris. Helo Mipnesha Torachu Lena Poisoi, Bishvil Dover Muat, but rather because of the trouble to sift out because of a small amount, Vilkoch Kilek Elo Rova Lo Torach Lokeach Lena Poso. Vechi Omar Le Mocher Lo Lokeach Ani Omer Shapiros Yofin Hain, Ve'im tomar einon yofin, o tarach v'napeosam, o aisi raya kama yesh tinofis v'ashalim loch. A customer will tell you, I'm selling you good stuff. If you think they're not good, so sift it out, or bring proof that there is debris. B'shul rova lo torach. The customer isn't going to trouble himself to
call the seller to task for 1/24th. The otzos scharo behefseid torcho. It's not worth it to him. The loss in time and sifting out is not going to benefit him the amount that he'll gain by discovering it. But if there's more than 1/24th, a purchaser will trouble himself. It's rather easy to complete the sifting once you've started it. The whole trouble is getting started. But once you're into it, it's easy to finish it off. Therefore, a person isn't forgiving of the debris. However, if there is only 1/24th, imbol and apois, if you got a guy that's picky and he wants to sift to discover that amount, arebot lo daito upoter mocher. Such people and their mindsets are considered insignificant in the general public. The main point, though, for us to realize is that by classifying this as dina, as letter of the law, and not a fine, what we're really saying is that customers are not forgiving of any debris. The fact that we let 1/24th go by is because people just figure it's not worth their while. But it is not accurate to say that when they approach a sale, they're approaching it with the mindset of getting debris. Continuing in the Gemara. The Amri lo Knosa. The other approach to Rav Huna's din is that the expectation to compensate in the case of where there's more than 1/24th is because we impose a fine. The Rashbam explains that by letter of the law, even if there's more than a rova, customers would be forgiving. In other words, according to this approach, customers do realize that there's debris and expect debris. And in fact, they would be willing to forgive even if there's more than a rova. But because of a fine that we impose on sellers, hence we have Rav Huna's din that says that the seller has to compensate for all of the debris that is there in the event that you find more than 1/24th. The Gemara explains, rova shachiach, yoser lo shachiach. A quarter of a kav, namely 1/24th debris, is common. More than 1/24th of the purchase of and having of debris present is uncommon. In the case that you found more than 1/24th of the purchase to be debris, what is our conclusion? The yuhu de oriv. It must be that the seller mixed it in. The kavan de oriv, since he practiced an unacceptable form of business by mixing in extra debris, konsuhu rabonan bekule. We impose on the seller a heavy fine. In other words, he has to refund for all of the debris that is present, not just the amount above 1/24th. The Gemara introduces in the parentheses a simen, which represents a terse reference to the series of points that the Gemara is going to bring in the context of Rav Huna. The simen reads, Kol Trei Shtori the Ravin Bar Rav Nachmon Oino the Kablanusa. Before we continue in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form that appears, a new form for our sukkah. In order to appreciate its role, let us glance at the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. We call this the volcano shape, with the narrow part on top. These will be kushyos al Rav Huna. These will represent questions on Rav Huna. When the narrow part is on the bottom, as you'll see on the next omid, some of these, siwa the Rav Huna. they will be a support for Rav Huna's teaching. By the time we finish the sugya, which lasts till Tzadi Hei Omed Aleph, we're going to have 8 of these forms, but they're not all going in the same direction. The beauty of the marking system allows you to scan ahead and get a layout of the territory before you get into the sugya. And you can even cite them by number, like by saying 1 and 2 will be questions on Rav Huna, 3 and 4 will support Rav Huna, 5 a question, 6 a support, 7 and 8, which appear on Daf Tzadi Hey, will also appear to support Rav Huna. To summarize the topic once again, the issue is going to be what happens to a seller when there appears an amount above the accepted margin of error. Is the seller expected to make full compensation or to make compensation for that amount which is above the margin of error? With that having been said, we don't have to focus only on the specific measures that we've mentioned till now, which dealt with sales of grain. In the examples of the Gemara, we're going to find sales of other items. But the principle is the same in all of the different cases. Continuing in the Gemara, Meisvei. We are going to bring a Tanaic source from the topic of Kilayim. Kilayim is a halacha concerning plants of mixed variety. In this case, someone sold seeds containing another variety mixed in. Kol se'ah shiesh bo rova mimin acher yima'et. Any se'ah measure of, in this case, of grain, if there is a rova of another variety, then yima'et. It must be reduced. Savrua, there's an assumption in this particular attempt to say the following. The rova dekilayim, the measure of rova when dealing with the issue of mixed varieties, the iser of kilayim, keyoser merova dehocha, is to be treated the same as exceeding a rova in the case of sales. The Kotoni Yema'et, the source teaches the halacha using the word Yema'et. What does Yema'et indicate? It means reduce till the acceptable amount. In other words, reduce the amount of foreign seed that's in this particular quantity that you bought to a shi'ur, to a quantity that would be botel. In other words, if we say that a rova is not botel, so, and that's how much there is over here, take out a grain or two, and then you have less than a rova and it will be botel. If that be the case, and we want to make a parallel between the rova of kilayim to yoser me rova in the case of a sale, what are we in effect saying? In the case of yoser me rova of the sale, the seller would be expected to compensate simply for the amount above the margin of error, but not for the entire amount. That's what's conveyed by the term yemai. Just make a reduction, as opposed to full compensation. The Gemara rejects the setup that we just mentioned. Loi, rova dekilayim ki rova dehocha domi. The rate of rova by kilayim is to be paralleled to the case of to the rate of rova in the case of sales. Now, what do we know about the din of rova in the case of sales? We say that we overlook that. No compensation has to be made. In the case of kilayim, then no rectification should have to take place. Ihochi, the Gemara asks, Amayimayet, if we're treating the rova of kilayim like in the case of rova in the case of sales, and just like in the case of sales, one doesn't have to regard the foreign substance. So why over here in the case of kilayim does one have to deal with the foreign variety? The Gemara answers, Mishum chumra de kilayim, because of the stringency of the isur, of the prohibition of kilayim, we want you to take action. We want you to reduce it. Ihachi, if that be the case, that the din of kilayim is a function of a stringency and not because of letter of the law, ema seifa, then let's continue and read the concluding section of that particular source, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yavur. Rabbi Yossi says, one has to clear out all of it, namely all of the foreign variety must be removed. E Amris Bishlamo, if you say like we said originally, Kayoiser Merova Tinofes Domi, that the rova of kilayim is to be viewed as like more than a rova of debris in the case of sales. Then I can understand the Tanaic controversy that exists in the realm of kilayim between the first opinion and Rabbi Yossi as follows. Tanakama Sovar, the first opinion would hold, Lo Kansinon Hetera Otu Isura. We don't impose a fine on the acceptable in anticipation of the unacceptable. Namely, the Tanakama says, reduce a little bit. In other words, that amount which is unacceptable, take care of it, but you're allowed to leave the acceptable amount. For Rabbi Yossi, Sovar Kansinon, and Rabbi Yossi would be of the opinion that once you go overboard, we impose a fine, and even that which is ordinarily acceptable must be eliminated. Elo I Amris Kerova Domi, if you're to say that the case of rova of kilayim is like a case of rova in sales, amayovur, why does Rabbi Yossi hold the opinion that you have to clear out all of the foreign substance in the case of the kilayim? The Gemara answers, once again, it's an answer that applies to kilayim. Hosam hainu taimod Rabbi Yossi, the reason that Rabbi Yossi says you must clear out all of the foreign substance in the case of the kilayim, mishum demechsi ki mekayim kilayim, because if you don't do that, it will appear as if you're maintaining the presence of mixed breeds in plants. The Rashbam explains, mishum demechsi ki mekayim kilayim, me'achar she maschil lema'et, once you're expected to reduce in the case of kilayim, and we said that's because of a stringency in the case of kilayim, umeniach miktsasan, and according to the Tanakama, you'd be allowed to leave a little bit of the foreign variety, umechsi ki'ilu matil oisam biyodayim, it creates an impression as if you are physically planting them, v'zoran b'miskavein, and willingly planting the mixed variety, v'i kvar nizru'u b'karka u'birer ksas v'shir ksas, if you have a situation where mixed variety was already planted and you started clearing out the foreign variety and leaving a little bit of the foreign variety, nira kemakayim b'karka kilayim, it looks like you're maintaining kilayim. V'nafgalon mikro b'moy katan u'v'toras kanem d'loike, and it's proven from sukim that mekayim b'kilayim shitas Rabbi Akiva, that this is even worthy of malchus punishment. With all that having been said, we are really saying that the question from Kilayim is a non-starter. The assumption that the rova of Kilayim was like more than a rova in the case of sales is not to be made. But rather, the rova of Kilayim is like the case of rova in the case of sales. That having been said, why is it that we have to intervene at all in the realm of Kilayim? The answer to that is because of the stringency of Kilayim, and we see that Rabbi Yossi goes even one step further because of the problem of Mekayim b'Kilayim. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice another volcano form. The narrow section of the form is pointing upwards. This once again indicates a kasha on Rav Huna. The source begins. Shnayim shirkidu eitzel echad. Ze mono veze mosayim. Two people entrusted by their friend. One party entrusted $100, and the second party entrusted $200. Then they come to their friend, the watchman, and they want their money back. Ze omer mosayim sheli, veze omer mosayim sheli. Each one of the parties who entrusted their money claims he is the one that entrusted 200. What is the obligation of the shomer? Noisein loze mono, veloze mono. Vashar yehe munach ad shiyovo Eliyahu. The shomer, the watchman, gives to each party 100, and the third 100, because there was a total of 300 originally entrusted by party A, 100 by party B, 200. So the third 100 remains until Eliyahu Anovi comes to clarify to whom it belongs. What is the principle that we see from here? Notice, of course, this has nothing to do with sales, but it does have to do with the principle of how we treat margins of error and discrepancies. We notice here that we give each party an amount that definitely is coming to them. We do not impose a fine concerning the full amount. Remember, in the case of sales, there was a 1/24th acceptable margin. What did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna says if you go overboard, then we impose a fine on the complete amount. Here, do we see someone losing out his complete amount? No, we don't see him losing out his complete amount. We see each party getting some of their money. In other words, a fine is not imposed on these entrusters. Neither one loses full amount. This, hence, represents a question on Rav Huna. The Gemara response is, Hochi Hashta, how can you compare? We've also employed a new geometric form. The form is explained on the outside margin simply by saying, Hochi Hashta is in quotation marks because that's what is surrounded by this form all through the sugya. Namely, Dechios. These are rejections of whatever the Gemara was trying to accomplish. In this case, the Gemara was trying to ask on Rav Huna, and the Gemara says, how can you compare? Rejecting the question. Hosam, in the case of the Shnayim Shefkidu, in the case of the money entrustment, Vadai Mona Lamor umona lamor. We can say regarding each party definitely had 100 coming to them. And that's what the guard restored. The watchman restored the definite amount. Hacha, in the case of the sale, mi yemar delav kulei aruve orif. Can anyone tell us for sure that the seller did not deliberately mix in all of the debris that's there? And if the seller deliberately mixed in all of the debris that's there, so he deserves to have to compensate for all of that. Toshma misefa. The Gemara at this point says, let us try to bring a support to Rav Huna's principle that we cause loss of the full amount when one has gone over the margin of error. And we can try to support this idea of causing the need to compensate or deal with the full amount from the seifa of the source of the money that we just read, the entrustment. Om Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama in the previous Tanaic section, in the source that was just quoted a couple lines above in the frame. And Rav Yossi says, Im Kain, if you restore 100 to each of the customers, of each of the parties that entrusted their money, Ma Hifsid Haramai. What did the thief lose? In other words, we have both parties claiming 200. In other words, the party, there was one of these fellows who entrusted 100, he's claiming 200, he's a ramai. If you give him back 100, what's he losing? In other words, it's worth it to him to try to get more. He knows if you follow the ruling of the Tanakhama, he'll get his basic amount back anyway. So Rav Yossi takes a different opinion and says, Elo hakol yehei munach ad shiovo elio. Rather, Rav Yossi holds, everything should be kept aside. In other words, neither one of the entrusters should receive their money back. What do we see from here? We see that we take action concerning the full amount, not just that which is above the known. This idea would parallel Rav Huna's teaching that we deal with the full amount. Hachi hashta. Once again, the Gemara says, still, you cannot parallel the cases. Hosam, in the case of the entrusters, vadai ika ramai. Rav Yossi will tell you, you definitely have to take action because there is definitely a thief over here. There is definitely someone who is underhanded, and we must take evasive action. Hacha, though in the case of the sale, mi yemar de'aruve oriv, who is to say that he actively, that the seller actively was involved with any mixing in of debris? It could be that the debris fell in inadvertently, without the seller acting inappropriately. Hence, the cases are not parallel. Toshma. We're up to number 4. With the narrow part of our geometric form pointing downwards, once again, we will try to bring a support to Rav Huna's approach. This source deals with the Isser of Ribis, the Isser of interest on loans. Shtar Shiesh Bo Ribis, a loan document that indicates that the loan is a loan made with interest payment. Koinsin Oisoi, we imply, we apply a fine on the Malve, on the one who, on the lender. V'eino Goive Loi Esakeren. The loyus aribis deverbi mayor. The lender will lose the entire amount. He will not be able to collect even the principal. What do we see? we see that a fine is imposed on the complete amount. This is in line with Rav Huna's ruling. Hachi hashta. The Gemara rejects the parallel. Hasam, in the case of the interest, mishas ksiva hu de ovid le suma. From the point of preparing the document, the lender violated the posuk which teaches lo sosimun olav neshech. The word suma is a term derived from the posuk lo sosimun, do not place upon. The idea being that from the immediate preparation of the document already, there is a violation of the principles of interest. Hacha, in the case of the sale, there isn't a definite violation of anything. Mi yemar de'aruvei orev, who is to say that he engaged in mixing in debris? Toshma miseifa. At this point, by virtue of the magnificent marking system, you notice the Gemara switches around. With the narrow part of this volcano form facing upwards, we're going to see a kasha on Rav Huna. The Seifa says, V'chachomim omrim, goive es hakeren, v'eino goive es horibis. The lender is entitled to collect the principal of the loan, and he loses out simply on that which is above the principal, the extra, so to speak, which was problematic, the interest. Rav Huna wouldn't have taken such an approach, thinks the Gemara. Once again, the Gemara rejects this. Hachi hashta. How can you compare these halachas? Hosam vandai karno de terahu. In the case of the loan, the principal was definitely allowed. It's definitely allowed to loan and claim payment of principal. Only the interest is problematic. Hacha, in the case of the sale of the grain with the discovered debris, mi yemar de kulei lo aruve orev, who can guarantee to us that he didn't mix in all of the debris deliberately? And if so, then he acted quite inappropriately. Toshma, detoni rovin bar Rav Nachman. With the shape facing downwards, we're going to offer support to Rav Huna's principle. The case here involves sales of land. The truth is that the source that's being taught now is a rather involved sugya later in the Masechta, in the 7th Perek, Perek Beis Kor. These topics will be dealt with at greater length. However, it's important to realize that, generally speaking, in the case of land sales, land is sold by measure. We've made reference to land measures earlier in the Masechta when we referenced the rope, that one shouldn't use the same rope in the rainy season and the summer season, one for buyers and one for sellers, in the sugya dealing with the weights and measures. Before we go on with the Gemara, let's just take note of a couple units of measure. A kor contains 30 saw. A kor is an area of land. It has other measure ramifications, but in our discussion we'll refer to it as an area of land, and it contains 30 saw. One saw contains 6 kav. The source is introduced here by Rovin bar Rav Nachman. Gemara continues. Toshma, the Toni Rovin bar Rav Nachman. In the case of a sale of a base core, turned out that the case we're dealing with, there was the addition of a rova kav added per sa'ah in the base core. Once again, we're going to discover, because this source is rather terse, we have to mention this as introductory information, that the purchaser was purchasing a core containing 30 saw, and it turned out that there was more than the margin of error that appeared. The margin of error in this discussion is a rova kav per saw, and it turned out that there was more than that. If one makes a quick calculation, one will discover that 30 rova kavs is 7.5 kav. 30 rova kavs is 7.5 kav. If it turns out that there is more than that, then the buyer is expected to refund or restore the entire extra amount, and not just the amount above the margin of error. That's what the source says. Loi es hamoisar bilvad hu machsir, not just the amount above the margin of error, namely the amount above the rova kav per sa'ah, elo machsir loi es kol horevoin kulon. The seller is expected to return all of the revoyin as well. Alma, what do we see from this? Hecha deboi haduri, when compensation is expected to be made, kula mahader. The entire amount is restored, is refunded. That would support Rav Huna. At this point, the Gemara rejects that support. Hachi hashta. How can you possibly compare the cases? The Gemara continues with its explanation of how you cannot compare the cases. In order to appreciate what the Gemara is going to explain, it will be necessary also to learn the Rashbam along with it. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashta. Hosam, in the case of the land sale, hein choser v'hein yoser omale. The parties agreed, using this expression, whether there be a little less, whether there be a little more. That expression was said explicitly in the case of the land sale. Mihu revia lo choshiv. Yeser mirevia choshiv. If it turned out that there was just a revia discrepancy, which we said was the rova kav per saw discrepancy, even when it's in the case of a kor, and it turns out to be 7.5 kav total, it's an insignificant amount of ground. However, yeser mirevia choshiv. If it's more than that, it becomes a significant piece of property. The kevan de chazile litzterufi betishas kabin havyulo aro chashivto ba'api nafsho v'hodra. Once you go above the rova per sa'ah discrepancy, it's very likely you're going to end up with a total of 9 kav. Extra in the case of a sale of a base core, and an area of 9 kav has significance as a minimum piece of property in and of itself, and as such, the buyer didn't pay for that. He paid for a core, not for a core plus 9 kav. 9 kav being considered a separate piece of property, And hence, that must be refunded. As we said earlier, to appreciate this, it's necessary to learn a section of the Rashbam. And we'll do that. The Rashbam on Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis toward the bottom, in the wide lines, Hochi Hashta, Hosom Gabi Beis Kur Ofor, Mido Bechevel Ani Mocher Loch. In the case of a sale of a Beis Kur Ofor refers to a sale of land. Mido Bechevel means to be measured by the rope measure. Bedin Hu De Machsir Loi Es Kol Horevoyim. By letter of the law, if there's any extra that the buyer receives, he should restore it. Especially in view of the fact that something that's measured out, it's not expected that there should be any extra. Why is there some acceptance of extra? Because there was this clause that was added. The clause stating, if it's a little more, a little less, we'll let the deal go through. Avol mistama lo havi koni yeser al beis kur v'afilu kolshu. However, if that phrase is not added, the hein choser hein yoser phrase, then under stam circumstances, even a minuscular discrepancy is not accepted. Hilkoch kimon deika dover godol kol kach yeser me rova lisaw. Lo havi mechila klal. Therefore, in the case with that background that one just learned, in the case of sales, when there's a discrepancy of more than a rova per saw, there's no overlooking whatsoever. The karka choshuvu b'fnei atzmo. When you add up 30 rova pluses, you come out to a piece of land that's significant in and of itself. When the deal was agreed upon that a sale of a base core is to take place, it was understood that a base core is that which would be sold. The adding of that clause helps. The lo havi yeser al mido kiim rova, if the extra is up to a rova per beisa, hu mochile, by adding the special clause, we allow some margin of error. Avol yeser me rova lo havi mechila klal. But more than that, there's no overlooking. The hodar, and it goes back, and it's compensated. Vadin lechisaron de rova nami havi mechila. Yeser me rova lo havi mechila. The hodar mi lo keach. The hodro milokeach. Likewise, if there is less than, if the seller loses out, the same rate applies. That is as far as the case of sales of land and the margin of error. Once again, the emphasis in the case of land sales is, in a stam case, not one inch of extra is expected. Only because there was an added clause is there some flexibility, but even there, not beyond the rova per saw. Afal gabi rova tinofes. The afal gav de lo omar lehein choser hein yoser. In the case of sales of grain, even without the expression of hein choser hein yoser, even without that, havyo mechila mistamo. There is understood forgiving. This is in contrast with the case of the land sale. Toshchiach tinoifes rova. Because in the case of land sales, there is an understood appearance of debris. Ule oilom e moloch, I can tell you, ki ikonami yeser me rova havyom rova mechila. If there would be more than the rova of debris, the basic rova, there could still be mechila on that. The yachzir hamosar, and the restoration of the amount above the of a margin of error would be compensated, but not the basic rova. Unlike Rav Huna, And with this in mind, we see how you cannot parallel the case of land sale with the case of grain sale and the debris. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.